intro.
Afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Thursday, October 19th, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And I have my regular Thursday co-host here with me, Wilhelm Felderhoff. Wilhelm, how are you doing today?
Hi, Richard. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hear you good.
Okay. My brother. Yeah, audio issues, but it seems to be okay now. Yeah, good to be with you. Thank you. I'm okay. I'm well in a very dry France still. Still no rain. It's ridiculous, but it's all good. So good to be with you.
Okay. Well, I'm very excited that we have a special guest with us here today, a fellow RBN host who's been on the network far longer than myself, for that matter, the gentleman who broadcasts just before mine, Mr. Chris Hinckley, is here with us. Chris, welcome.
Thanks, Richard. Glad to be here. And as I have discussed on Road Warrior Radio in the run-up to being your guest, I look forward to the cross-pollination, so should be fun.
Yes, indeed. I've been meaning to interact with you for a while now to collaborate. I certainly agree with that. I mean, yeah, I remember hearing you on with John Stadmiller a couple times. He always had the attitude of trying to, well, get listeners aware of all the hosts, get hosts networking, collaborating with each other more. There hasn't been too much of that since John passed, but yeah. I'd like us to resurrect that attitude for sure.
As would I. And so I look forward to it.
Indeed. And Wilhelm here is European. So I thought that would be an interesting first interaction we have together for you and he to compare notes. I mean, you are very well read, sir. I've been very impressed. The broadcasts of yours I've heard.
And, well, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. I don't know. To be determined. It ends up being a mishmash sometimes, it seems. It's so easy to get mired in the weeds of details and things. You know, the situation regarding the recent, what I would call strategy of tension episode, over there, what do you call it? What they call Israeli-Hamas war or conflict or whatever, which I think is completely disingenuous. That's case in point, perhaps, where no matter what direction you go, it's so easy to get mired in the weeds, and most people have no idea what they're talking about when they start, trying to. I have family members who said, the weekend in question, over the weekend of the 7th, I think it was on Sunday the 8th, I had a family member say, I said something to this family member, and this person said, "Are you referring to my post on social media about, we should support?" And I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this right now. No, I was not referring to that. I don't want to talk about it because you have no idea what you're talking about. So, in a 20 second or a 9 or 8 second soundbite culture, 144 character culture, we don't have time. And they, you know, people don't want to take the time to educate themselves properly, don't want to investigate. It's easier to sort of absolve ourselves of responsibility and perhaps even culpability by, you know, adopting some bandwagon perspective. And as I've said on Road Warrior Radio, the bandwagon effect is a logical fallacy historically. So that's ironic, I think, speaking of herd think.
No, very true. And at the moment, I mean, the U.S. is doubling down on just backing up the official Israeli narrative, for that matter. There was an Israeli politician on RT said to have had a meltdown recently and said that they're coming after Russia after they deal with Gaza.
Yeah.
But Biden, I mean, he was visiting Israel saying, oh, I guess it wasn't you guys who did the bombing on the hospital. It must have been the other guys.
Yeah. And the other team, right?
Yeah, the other team.
Right.
And so, but, well, we have evidently Putin out there blaming the U.S. ultimately, which for the circumstances which led to the hospital bombing. Evidently, Trump is out there slamming Biden for handing $100 million to Palestinians. He's very much on the Israeli side. I just saw an article from Zero Hedge, and they're being very Zionist, it seems, backing up Israel's story about the hospital bombing, too. So I don't know. Everyone's true colors. What stand they take on supporting Zionism or not, yeah, is really coming out here.
Yeah,
and the U.S. vetoed a U.N. resolution for a Gaza ceasefire. So that doesn't really make us look good. Wilhelm, you being in Europe, I don't know, maybe you'd like to comment on this, and maybe you could start the discussion what you might suggest to Chris, you know, as far as your perception, and of course with friends and family, you know, just like COVID, trying to talk to him about this war is a non-starter, right?
Yeah, it was. And I think COVID served actually as a really good sort of learning experience regarding your friends and family. It was already before, of course, if you had different viewpoints on certain, you know, certain tensions, certain issues which were tense or charged. So that was not new, but it got a new level with COVID. So I think that served really as a very precious learning window for things as they are now. It's even more dangerous almost to speak out. It's not. I think it's also not so wise to speak out in certain situations or if it has any outputs, you know, if it has any strategical value or results, then that might be a good thing. But now you see the groupthink. I come from aviation as a former commercial airline pilot, very much studied about groupthink and psychological aspects in the cockpit to enhance airline crew performance with cockpit resource management protocols and structures and programs, which is very interesting because you see in society the same dynamics, which can be fatal. And groupthink in aviation is one of these things which can lead to just fatalities. And you see that in society the same. And of course, we are being pushed into groupthink, which is also triggered by fear. I think Chris made a good point with the herd on the bandwagon and being with family, that you really have to sort of stay away or keep objective and not be too impulsive and let yourself being led by emotions, because it's now becoming really dangerous to a certain degree. Not that you have to be led by fear, of course, but I've seen the confirmation of the fact that most of my family and friends, so-called friends, which I had during a big part of my life, are actually not my friends and family. They're actually sort of potential enemies in a certain way.
Yeah.
And we live in a war. It's a war. It's a wartime, and it's already chaos. Although it's exponential of expanding, it's you know, it's becoming bigger and bigger chaos. But we tend to forget that we are already in a state of war, psychological war, of course, mainly. But so yeah, it's interesting to say the least. But to keep in balance individually, to keep yourself in a good mental, emotional, and physical balance, that's already a very big quest.
That is a fact. Yeah, as you know, and again, I mean, the bandwagon effect being a fallacy, but that doesn't seem to dissuade or even slow people down in ignoring facts and reality. Because, well, if it weren't true, then surely somebody would say something. Well, lots of people have. And, you know, the fact that there is an effort to overwhelm those people and discredit those people. I mean, the evidence of that is everywhere. We see it with the social media stuff, the trying to prevent people from saying certain things, or, you know, the fact-checking nonsense, which if you look into who owns the fact-checkers, it tells you a lot. And, you know, all of the related organizations like Mediaite and so forth, and the influence. And, you know, despite that reality, it's amazing how these narratives are constructed, which reminds me of the guys 100 years ago, these roundtable circles where guys like Arnold J. Toynbee would get together in their private groups and hammer out these talking points that then would circulate out into the general public. And it's amazing how that has been scientifically refined, and now people gobble these sound bites up, but like Bertrand Russell wrote in The Impact of Science on Society, they don't know from whence their beliefs derive. They don't know where these things came from. They certainly, with, you know, regard to, let's say, Israel existing in the Middle East, Christians don't know, they couldn't chapter and verse you exactly why they believe this thing should exist over there and should crowd out these other people. They couldn't tell you what the Balfour Declaration was, let alone that it's an interesting, you know, curious point of controversy that even the Balfour Declaration said, it being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine. That clearly hasn't been observed. They don't have any basis for their position, but that doesn't dissuade them. You know, and all the evidence to the contrary doesn't dissuade them. It's really, it's a remarkable thing to see, I think. And that's why, like you said, Willem, it, you know, you can't get emotionally involved. You have to understand. I mean, it's like that Matrix quote, whatever it is, that when Morpheus says to Neo, you have to understand, most people are not ready to be unplugged, kind of thing, you know, and they will fight for the system, and that makes them our enemy. It's that kind of thing. It's just, it's amazing to see.
Willem?
Yes, it is definitely amazing to see. It's a sort of, it's really surrealistic experience. If you look at it, if you look at reality as it is now manifesting, it seems to be manifesting, it appears to be very real, of course. But because of that, it's also offering us these deeper questions about ourselves. And I think that's a really one of the good things, if you want to talk about good or bad, or, you know, positive, negative. I think that is giving us huge opportunities because of these challenges to see the reality what it is, and to align our perceptions with truth as much as possible, which is very difficult. But you are forced to go into this depth, inner depth, also with questions about who am I, and you know, why am I here, and what's death, and how am I perceiving death, and these kinds of questions, which we have been weakened. And of course, the last 100 years after the Second World War, my generation, I was born in the 60s, so my generation has been weakened of course, tremendously. I have a military background. I did the Green Beret, so I have something still in my backpack. But now we still were weakened. We never had electricity problems or hunger, these kinds of things. So the Western society, the fall of Western man, of course, if you look at it, is also the result of this weakened state. And now, so we are now being forced to access these so-called, you know, these qualities which we never had to access before. And that is a good thing in a certain way. Not that I don't want to justify all this horror and this evil and all the suffering, of course not. But it's the only way to go, to really go, and honestly, in a self-reflective modus. And now with this narcissistic society, with due to the technology, there is no self-reflection. People are not questioning themselves at all. They now, you know, they carry the Israeli flag, then the Ukrainian flag, and another flag. They don't question, like, hey, what am I doing? This is another flag. But so the technology is not helping us in that matter at all, of course.
So I think there's an interesting irony. That's an interesting point that you make. And I remember hearing Matthew Arrett. I don't know exactly where he, you know, what the source of this remark was, but I remember hearing him in a panel not too long ago, and I mentioned it on Road Warrior Radio. The irony of narcissism is, you know, not introspective, not self-reflective, as you said. But Matthew Arrett pointed out that the narcissistic personality is sort of an inherently codependent. And it is, you know, you would think that, you know, common sense would seem to indicate that a narcissist doesn't care about what anyone else thinks, but it's actually the opposite, is the point that he was making. He made it very succinctly. I don't remember exactly how, but he basically said, you know, they are, you know, incapable really of standing apart from the herd. They depend on the herd for reinforcement, which I guess you can see it kind of makes sense, you know, that they need this reinforcement. And that's why you probably won't find many narcissists who make a significant break from herd think. It might seem nuanced, or it might be a veneer, in a way, but really it's some kind of collective thought somewhere in the background, because they can't truly stand apart, which I think you see if you talk to a narcissist for any length of time. They don't, because, you know, of your point, basically, they are not self-reflective, they're not introspective, and they're really not concerned with those kinds of things. You know, what do I believe? Why do I believe it? And let me investigate that a little bit. That never happens. So then where do these ideas come from?
Yeah, I agree. But because not all people who are codependent are narcissists. It can lead to narcissism, of course.
Yeah.
But I think it's really the true epidemic in the disease humanity is suffering for as a collective is codependence. I think that's one of the roots of the issues, is that people, humans, are sort of on a huge scale deeply codependent, and that is manifest. There is no inner sovereignty, so they turn to authority, to power outside themselves. They think they're not okay on the core belief level. I'm not okay, you know, all these kinds of core beliefs, that I'm bad, and guilt, and looking for leaders, messiahs, all that stuff comes from this same disease, literally spiritual disease, I think, really, like codependence is.
I would agree, and the cultural Marxist bent is hard at work over here to tell us all, generation over generation, that we are terrible and, you know, we should be guilt-ridden. And, you know, we see that in all the politically correct nonsense going on these days.
So how would you relate this to religion, Chris? Because, for instance, in the Christianity...
Well, I'm sorry, Willem, if you could remember that thought. I hear the music, and we can continue that question on the other side.
Sure.
Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
I'm an old sweet drum. You raise my hopes and you raise the odds. You tell me that I dream too much. Now I'm serving time in disillusionment. I don't believe you anymore. I don't believe you. I don't believe you anymore.
And we are back, folks, here on Beyond the Official Narrative, right here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my Thursday co-host, Wilhelm Velderhoff. And we have fellow RBN host here with us today as a special guest, Chris Hinckley. And of course, Chris does the broadcast just prior to mine, Monday through Friday. That's Road Warrior Radio with Chris Hinckley. And that's 10 a.m. to 12 noon central, Mondays through Fridays. If for some reason, anyone, new listeners or whatever, haven't, you should definitely check out his perspectives and his broadcast. And, well, Wilhelm, I didn't really describe you to Chris too much. I know you had a chance to catch Chris's show today, but, well, Wilhelm is a Dutch citizen, I should mention, Chris. He's currently living in France, but he's originally from Netherlands, and I've known him for quite a few years now. He mentioned having been a Green Beret. He had a class action lawsuit at the end of his commercial airline career, aerotoxic syndrome, He and other pilots were victim to lung damage due to chemicals which were leaking from the engine rooms. So it was quite a concerning thing. I've heard some claims that the passengers, you know, could have been affected over time from some of these things, but certainly not to the extent pilots would be. I know before I met Willem, he founded a conference, in-person conference in the Netherlands, the Open Mind Conferences. And he did a few years there. Some of the people changed down the line, and he moved on from that. But Willem, yeah, you had a follow-up question here for Chris at the last segment. How things relate to religion? What was your question, sir?
How would you relate this to religion? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I had a question about, because Chris is very knowledgeable about scriptures and Christianity, especially. I listened to your show before also, so it was very interesting, by the way, really great. But I had a question how you interpret the notion in Christianity, as far as I think it's mostly in Christianity, that humans are born in sin. And don't you think that isn't that causing a core belief and feeding a sort of core belief, which is, of course, that the public school system is being fed that we are not okay. Isn't that sort of counterproductive in gaining self-sovereignty?
I'm not sure I follow you. I didn't quite catch. You said core belief that human beings are what in sin?
Well, not okay. I'm not okay. That is one of the root core beliefs of human beings, coming especially from the school system, where you learn that you are not okay yet, in the sense that you have to follow orders and stimulus response modus, and you have to study before you can be happy and do certain things before you can be happy. And there's, if it comes not primary, then secondary in the public school system, codependence being brought into the psyche, especially, you know, under 8 to 8 about. But I was thinking about religion, how religion has a sort of core belief that humans are born in sin. Mm-hmm. And I find it a bit not a constructive notion. Or how do you interpret that?
Well, you know, my views are, I think, somewhat unique, and so I'll try to unpack that a little bit. I think we're headed into a break in a second here, but about a minute and a half, I think, or something like that. But religion is – that's an interesting subject to unpack. You know, I sort of agree in a sense with the paraphrasing of Marx, you know, that religion is the opiate of the masses. There's – all kinds of psychological warfare that's being waged. And I would say, in simple terms, you know, the devil has done a masterful job of A, convincing the world that he doesn't exist, and then in turn B, sort of weaponizing our, you know, latent characteristics or qualities and our weaknesses against us. And I think that's, you know, what you describe is one of those things that we get this message dripped on us, particularly in the era of, you know, the post-cultural Marxist bent and those guys that told us that, you know, we have to move that direction and plunge man into utter depravity to save him, which is a perversion of the Christian gospel. We have that messaging all around us. I think it's one of the things that I've mentioned on my broadcast is in Michael Tsarian's article titled Children of Thanatos. Well, I'll finish that thought when we come back, I guess.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of a long, challenging question for such a short segment.
Yeah.
Okay, well, folks, stick around. We'll be right back on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What?
Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act, the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my Thursday co-host, Wilhelm Felderhoff, and our special guest today, RBN host of Road Warrior Radio, Chris Hinckley. Chris, please continue with your response to Wilhelm.
We are definitely beyond the official narrative.
Yes, so, yeah. We certainly are.
Yeah. Somewhat challenging to articulate, but you know, so I believe, you know, religion is one thing. Christianity is, in my opinion, what I would, you know, call a relationship with one's creator through Jesus Christ himself, who is the, you know, in Christian vernacular, he is the mediator, he is the high priest, he is the intercessor for the Christian. Anyway, you know, biblically speaking, there is that first deception in Genesis 3, and from that, you know, the Bible says from one man all sinned, basically, and then there was the redemption, the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, through whom, you know, through the one, all can be saved. And that's, you know, that's kind of the abridged Christian perspective. But the concept is that we're all, you know, we live in a sinful, fallen world, and we all are inherently sinful by nature until we are, you know, born again, like Jesus says to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you're the leader of the Jews. You don't know this. So that, I think, that concept of inherent sin has been weaponized and exploited, and the cultural Marxists did a masterful job of doing that. I think it's evident. I was going to say, Michael Tsarian has his post titled Children of Thanatos, and he mentions in it the key to progress in our world lies in the realization that psychically mutilated people are completely incapable of seeing themselves as sick and wrongheaded. It's just not possible. And I think that touches on what we were talking about earlier. People, you know, the level of codependency that you were talking about, Vellum, for example. And the fact that people, you know, that are plagued by this can't see it themselves. And so, you know, I think that's been weaponized and exploited. And now, you know, and this, I think there's a longer, much longer history. I think the, you know, without trying to get too far afield, our history as Americans and this idea of, you know, kind of Plato's Republic and, you know, how that leans into Fabian socialism and democratic socialism is curious. But the idea of self-government is an interesting concept. And we had individualism versus collectivism that sort of emerged at the turn of the 20th century as a key pivotal discussion. You know, out of all of that. And we hear today as Americans that, you know, there is a collectivist impulse that seeks to overrun our individualist roots. I think it's two sides of the same coin, personally. I think, you know, it reminds me of the CIA creating vacuums in places and then filling that vacuum with whatever they choose. And so I think I would argue that, you know, going back and looking in history, the religious persecution was somewhat feigned. What brought us here was somewhat misleading, and this was always supposed to be the incubator of what Manly P. Hall referred to as the secret destiny of America, the new Atlantis, the new revived Hellenized impulse to go around and spread this stuff throughout the world. Anyway, what I think is happening now, in keeping with that sort of agenda, is, you know, the cultural Marxist bent, just to kind of, you know, simplify it, reinforces the message that we are all, you know, broken, we're all messed up, we should be guilt-ridden. We certainly see that in the PC stuff, but, you know, the reason I mentioned Michael Tsarian specifically is because when I think of psychically mutilated, I think of how that externalizes itself through, you know, lot more and more tattoos and piercings and things. And here in America, we certainly have seen that. You know, we see a rise. I see more and more tattoos and piercings and people with, you know, very, you know, hair colors that are not natural. It's not like they're trying to dye the gray out. I'm talking like, you know, rainbow colors, purple and things like that. And I think that's the externalization of the psychic mutilation that Michael Tsarian talked about. So we have the reinforcement that is, you know, goading people spiritually, if you will. And then the antidote to that we're presented with these days is this communitarian bent that says your power is in the group somewhere. You're not, you don't have any value as an individual apart from the group. And so I think you can see that in the messaging in movies like Barbie, for example. You know, groupthink is where our power is. Or as H.L. Mencken put it, cynically the pathetic belief in the collective wisdom of individual ignorance. You have to ask who's directing these things? Who's leading these things? And so, you know, similar to the conversation earlier about, you know, the thing that's going on over in the Middle East, whatever you want to call it, and people not being able to articulate what they believe and why, you know, the same kind of thing is happening every time some kind of soundbite that comes along in a post-truth world. Sounds good. It's a persuasive argument. They can't tell you why they have adopted it, but it sounds good, so we're going to do that. I think, you know, that would be how I would explain the codependent epidemic relating to religion. I don't know if that answers the question, but that's kind of what came to my mind.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. It's really an interesting take you bring up there.
Yeah, no, some of what I got from that was that this original sin concept in Christianity, if you will, it has been weaponized, point out, Chris, against the people. Mm-hmm. But originally it was intended to incentivize people towards spiritual growth.
Well, salvation in Christ Jesus in the Christian sense. And so now, you know, to your point, we're marinating in this stuff intentionally because of the cultural Marxist bent. And so how do I relieve myself? You know, how do I relieve myself of this self-persecution, basically, and the salvation now is in the group? If I can identify with herdthink and a strong enough group, then maybe I can feel better about myself.
Yes, yeah, so with all the virtue signaling.
Yeah, exactly.
Proxy armies.
Main
carrot on the stick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's also exactly that disconnect with nature. Like you say, it's not natural. All these phenomena are completely unnatural, especially with this technology for the last decades, which is enforcing this disconnect with nature, but then especially living in opposition with natural law principles. Of course, that's completely occulted, and these are weaponized against us so that we live in opposition with these natural law principles, and that is resulting in chaos. That's just the principle of natural law. The outcome is chaos. If we live with no foundation of truth, then there's no proper decision-making process. So the action which comes from there is just chaos and disorder and sickness. And it's now even to the point that, like you say, it's all forms of self-mutilation and self-hatred. It's a suicidal mission, really, with this groupthink cult, this kind of thing. It's remarkable. Yeah, it is remarkable.
Yeah, and the last 3 years that we've been through reinforces all of that stuff so much. I think of Martin Seligman's work in learned helplessness theory and all of that. And, I went to a local bowling alley yesterday, and I was just thinking, you know, we used to have drive-in theaters. We used to, you know, bowling alleys are going away, and things that it seems like everywhere I look, things where people can gather socially in, you know, reality, physically. I remember the Coleman commercial not too long ago where they, you know, said Coleman, the original social network, and they had people gather around a campfire with Coleman, you know, coolers and stuff like that. But those kinds of things, people, you know, again, don't realize. I get called crazy when I say, you know, I wonder if the drive-in movies, if there was an impetus to try to get rid of those, the theaters, because they all sort of went away at the same time. And I can understand the financial pressure to do something with those properties. But I also know that Bernays wrote in Propaganda about, you know, the guy who sells the piano. The old way was to say, come by my piano. And the new way is to create an environment where you have architects designing music rooms and, you know, all of this propaganda that goes out so that eventually people say, they come to you and they say, please sell me a piano. And so someone who was hired by the invisible government, as Bernays put it, who's not guessing, to write about something on that large a scale, you know, I wouldn't put it past people to try to get rid of. I've noticed that pool tables are going away everywhere in establishments, and you know, the drive-in theaters went away several years ago, and bowling alleys have been going away. But what I saw in the bowling alley was really refreshing. It was sort of, you know, a countervailing force, I would say, in what we're talking about. And you look at that versus what happened through the COVID shenanigans and how people were, you know, forced, for lack of a better word, to isolate themselves, and how in learned helplessness theory and, you know, psychological warfare, that's one of the primary tactics, to separate people, you know, in order to break down their defenses, make them more suggestible, more malleable, more easily susceptible to conditioning, and probably sicker. Their immune system probably breaks down, and all kinds of things. It's just, it's interesting how, you know, we're sort of nudged in that direction, but not in the direction of the bowling alley, like I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, thank God we have now these new vaccines that can help us so
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, and even genetically modified mosquitoes, I hear Bill Gates let loose in Texas and Florida. Interesting two states he chose there. Surely nothing nefarious could be going on there either.
I'm still wondering. I see this sometimes coming by for quite some time now. Is it already done? Is it in Florida done, or is it released, or is it true, or is it difficult? I mean, I didn't look really deep into that, but
that was the impression I had from the way I saw things phrased, that they were already released in Texas and Florida with very little, if any, oversight, it seemed. Chris?
I'm not sure exactly what the latest is on that. Snopes has a fact check. Bill Gates releasing genetically modified mosquitoes in Florida. Here's the whole story. That was back in 2021, and it's true and false. My understanding is that it's been done. It was, you know, first it was 30 million. I heard upwards of, I don't know, 700 million or 150,000 or whatever. The numbers are all over the board. But, you know, the Gates Foundation has been working on that for years, for more than a decade. And it coincided with Bill Gates' decade of vaccines back in 2010. So,
yeah.
And Chris, I saw an excellent Colbert report on Gates. It was like a 4 half-hour segments.
Yeah.
Study on he and his father, yeah. How much their family pretty much wanted to follow in the footsteps of the Rockefellers, yep. Including dysgenics is what, yeah, I'd call it. I mean, maybe eugenics for the elite and dysgenics for everyone else seems, yep, to be what, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Five-part documentary is really great.
Yeah, who is Bill Gates, I think, is the one that you're referring to, that Corbett, yeah, James Corbett did?
Yeah.
Is it that one?
But that, yeah, might be the name of it, I think, yes.
Yeah.
New York Times had an article, I forget the title of it, but the New York Times actually did an article about how the Gates Foundation picked up where Rockefeller sort of brought the world, and even quoted Bill Sr., I think, saying, you know, everywhere we've been in health, you know, every you know, at every turn that we've been at the Gates Foundation, we always find Rockefeller has been there and for years.
Yeah.
So I don't double checked in my downloads. Meet Bill Gates. I actually played it in segments, the audio on my show at one point. So yeah, I found it. Yeah, very interesting. Looking at both the families of Rockefeller and Gates, for that matter.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to utilize our time with Wilhelm? Compare your notes, Chris, to a European on any topics in particular.
I would love to. I don't know. We're running short on time. Yeah, I think it would be fascinating to compare notes. Maybe we could do it again and sort of focus in on that.
Yeah,
that would be great. And I'm sure Wilhelm would love to be a guest on your program.
Yeah, we could do that too. Yeah, definitely.
Down the line. Every so often, it seems like the two of you, both in philosophy and psychology, are very well read. It'd be interesting to collaborate.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be great.
Hey, one question. Because do you see, Chris and Richard, with this latest Gaza scene or the spectacle or whatever you want to call it, do you see a difference in the sense that all these events, you know, Ukraine, COVID, climate, all this stuff is being implemented or thrown into the, in the arena? Do you see a difference in the dynamics or in the mechanisms on a social, psychological level that people are already in a state of, completely tired and docile, but there is a difference that there's more awareness or, more people see through it or can not jump on the bandwagon, what you mentioned before. Do you see any difference as far as you can see it, of course?
You want me to answer first?
Oh, please. Yes.
Okay. I would say absolutely. I see a difference. I think there's fatigue, and I think I would call it, the learned helplessness stuff, where going through the COVID stuff over here, the things that didn't make sense, the demands for things. One of the things that I talked about through the COVID shenanigans was Matthias de Smet's research and how he pointed out that the more absurd the requests are, the more it sort of cows people when you have these kinds of things happen. And so much of what we saw was absurd. But, if you have to do these things for your livelihood and for, the livelihood and existence of your family, for example, then what do you do? And I think that I would call it still kind of a general atmosphere of PTSD, what I see. People are still kind of, waiting for the dust to settle a little bit. And, we keep hearing about these new waves of stuff. And I try to be, back to our conversation earlier about not getting too emotionally involved. To try to bring some levity to this stuff, because I really do think that people have been psychologically traumatized. Mm. It's like going to war. And I think there's a lot of PTSD circulating, at least over here, with people I've talked to. I try to bring some levity and maybe pique their curiosity. And I say things like, when they say, the next wave of COVID, we're hearing about it, whether it's, they hear it from Alex Jones or they hear it from mainstream stuff or whatever, I like to say, well, isn't it fascinating that COVID seems to have cured the common cold and flu? Because no one has a cold or flu anymore. It's amazing. And hopefully that makes them chuckle and think a little bit, but I would call it PTSD generally.
I noticed a really good comment a lot of people use. It's very effective. Just, you can always get another job, but you only have one life.
Yeah.
Except with the mRNA shots, like you say, with the groupthink, people aren't willing to try to research or trust their own opinion. That's not at all something they'll consider, Chris.
It's amazing. It's what do you call it? It's Ash conformity experiment in full effect. It's all of those, Milgram experiment type stuff. Trust the experts.
Willem?
Yeah, I agree. Interesting, in the Milgram experiment, there was also, because it's often left out if you look at it, that the people who did this experiment, they all signed a contract and they received an amount of money, but like $2 or $5, I don't remember exactly.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a very interesting, important aspect as well.
Yeah.
Left out, of course, the Milgram was also done based on why these evil Germans did this in the concentration camps, these or followed these deadly orders. But the energetic implementations are of a contract and money in that thing is also playing a factor. I think it's an interesting thing also to take into account. And of course, money is of course one of the biggest overarching religions now for people to follow orders in a certain way.
Yeah. So, yeah,
it's a good one to bring up.
That is an interesting nuance in the Milgram experiment, and I'm glad you pointed that out. Easy to overlook.
Yeah. It doesn't matter the amount of money, but with a contract, there's an energetic aspect of it, of fear, control, authority, obedience, or you're sort of connected, bound, chained in a certain way. And then the money aspect, yeah, that's interesting.
Maybe we could circle back around and say lobbying, and also maybe the AIPAC influence, back to the earlier stuff. Anyway.
this has been a great collaboration. The time just flew by. That's always a good sign, though, that you know, it's interesting. So yeah, we'll have to plan this again, the three of us, and I'll definitely share your emails with each other, so that Chris, yeah, you could have Vilam on at a time that works for you both. Yeah, I'm sure everyone would agree. Love to hear the two of you together on your program.
Yeah, you guys are both welcome together or separately, whatever works, anytime on Road Warrior Radio. So
cool. Wonderful. Yeah, very cool.
And I, as far as, you know, talking and sort of comparing notes again, I mean, I would defer. I feel I have a sort of, you know, the anti-American exceptionalism view, for better or worse, where, you know, we're accused over here of the world looks in, we don't look out. And I am very curious to get the outside perspective, because I think we, you know, even when we want to be mindful of that or introspective, it's difficult. So I would defer probably to Vilam's greater knowledge and background and so on.
Yeah, and I think it's great that you bring up discussions about psychology and the psychological dynamics, because that's really what we need to get a sort of understanding of, what's driving us and what is happening, why are people behaving in certain ways. And then the psychological aspects are very fascinating also, but
yeah,
crucial to understand, other than the facts or the outcome. We're sort of in the realm of effects, where there's no room for change other than in the realm of causality, which is psychological often. So that's, I think it's very good that you talk a lot about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fantastic. Thank you so much, Chris. Look forward to doing this again.
Me too. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Vilam. It was a pleasure joining you guys.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Richard. Take care, guys. Stay strong.
Thank you, Vilam, as well. And to the listeners, and please support Republic Broadcasting Network, folks. This is the only place you're going to get this much uncensored collaboration of those seeking the truth. Help us out so that we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Hey there, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle